Hello, my name is Brian Ovechelsky and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today we're joined by regular Drug Topics contributor Jeff Goad, president of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. Welcome and thank you so much for joining me today, Jeff.
Great, thanks for having me.
So today we're going to be discussing current developments regarding the COVID-19 vaccine in the U.S. marketplace and what potential updates stemming from the federal government may mean for pharmacists and their patients. So Jeff, to start, in December of 2021, HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said that the COVID-19 vaccine was, quote, the deadliest vaccine ever made. What have been some of the most notable developments regarding this administration's view of the COVID-19 vaccine since those comments were made, basically like within the past couple, like year?
Yeah, a lot's changed in 1 year, hasn't it? I think what's most relevant for pharmacists is how COVID-19 vaccine policy has evolved since the administration took office in 2025. You know, one of the clearest signals has been a pullback in federal investment in mRNA vaccine platforms. In fact, an estimated reduction or sometimes a redirection of funding, it's on the order of several hundred million to potentially over $1 billion, affecting mRNA research, pandemic preparedness, and really next generation vaccine development. I think the second most important was the FDA. So the FDA has implemented more restrictive age and risk-focused labeling language for COVID-19 vaccines. So while COVID-19 vaccines do remain licensed for individuals 6 months of age and older, current labeling now emphasizes universal for age 65 and above, but for those less than 65, it's really only with underlying conditions that increase the risk for severe COVID disease. So for pharmacists, those distinctions matter because labeling often drives payer coverage, protocol development, and perceived clinical priority among their patients, even when the indication technically remains broad. And I think the last and probably the most significant most recently was the CDC updated the child and adolescent immunization schedule in January, repositioning COVID-19 vaccination away from a clearly universal routine recommendation for children. The schedule now emphasizes individual risk assessment through shared clinical decision-making, rather than including COVID-19 vaccination alongside other universally recommended pediatric vaccines. So I think, you know, put it all together, the funding restrictions and narrower FDA indications and CDC schedule changes reflect really a systematic reframing of how COVID-19 vaccines are positioned within the U.S. public health system, with real downstream implications for pharmacy practice and vaccine confidence.
Awesome. Very well said. I think that was the perfect groundwork for what has happened since and what's really ongoing right now. So obviously, you're going to frame this conversation more so in the removal of COVID-19 vaccines altogether, because obviously it's very gradual as far as recommendations and kind of how that goes to share clinical decision making. If it were to happen, kind of hypothetically, what government leader or entity has the authority to remove COVID-19 vaccines from the market? And like, what's the true potential of this actually happening in the near to long-term future?
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand how this happens. From a legal and regulatory standpoint, only the FDA has the ability to authorize, approve, restrict, or withdraw a vaccine from the U.S. market. Neither the HHS leadership nor CDC recommendations can independently remove an FDA-approved product. However, pharmacists understand there's an important distinction between a formal market removal and practical access. Even when a product remains FDA-approved, changes in recommendations, coverage policy, procurement, and even public messaging can significantly limit real-world availability. In the near term, the more realistic concern is probably not the sudden market withdrawal, but a progressive narrowing of indications, recommendations, or payer coverage, which really can effectively reduce access and uptake, even without an official removal of the vaccine.
Awesome. Very well said. Focusing more on like yourself, your peers, what is the current sentiment across the pharmacy and even the infectious disease space regarding these potential changes to or removal of the COVID-19 vaccine?
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that across pharmacy and infectious disease and other medical communities, there is strong alignment around maintaining universal access to COVID-19 vaccines. We continue to view COVID-19 vaccines as safe, effective, and a critical tool for preventing future pandemics. You know, the prevailing sentiment is that access should remain broad and uncomplicated. Where concern arises is not with the science, because the science continues to support vaccination, but with policies that create artificial barriers to access and introduce ambiguity for patients and providers. We all recognize that once access and messaging becomes fragmented, vaccination rates decline and preventable hospitalizations and unfortunately death increases. For really, in short, pharmacy and the medical community are united in the view that COVID-19 vaccines should remain readily available to all patients, and any changes need to be supported by clear, publicly available, evidence-based guidance.
Awesome. I very much appreciate that. I think that some of this it really might not be news to kind of pharmacies audience, but it's important as these developments kind of are ongoing that just bring light to it and getting eyes on the fact that these things could gradually happen in the future. So I really appreciate you sharing those kind of insights. So we wanted to just touch on mRNA technology really quick and then kind of move it into like the public health space going forward. While the COVID-19 vaccine is involved in many of these ongoing discussions, there has been the greater exploration, like you said in your first response, from the current administration regarding mRNA vaccines as a whole. So what would it mean for patients and pharmacists across the U.S. if mRNA vaccines are essentially pulled in the near future, or if that, like you said, that gradual kind of fragmentation?
Yeah, well, I think from a clinical standpoint, removing mRNA vaccines and that platform would reduce the option available to patients dramatically, especially for young children. mRNA technology enables rapid strain updates, scalable manufacturing. In other words, we can ramp up production very quickly, and a future for multiple antigen formulations. This platform is very flexible. We may see, instead of getting multiple shots for respiratory season, you may only need one shot in the future. So there are definitely advantages to this platform. Operationally, though, pharmacists would face significant disruption, changes to product availability, right? Because it would go from 3 vaccine products to 1. Payer coverage may change. Protocols would have to be changed. And potential for product shortages with only 1 vaccine on the market. So longer term, platform instability really risks slowing vaccine innovation. If investment in mRNA technology becomes uncertain, it affects not only COVID-19 vaccines, but future products targeting respiratory viruses, oncology, and emerging infectious threats.
So I think this has been a great conversation, really touching on kind of, and like I also feel like it with the COVID-19, with the pandemic, and it's all kind of like underscores, you know, pharmacy and their role in administering vaccines. So, and the great work that they've helped with in public health. So kind of just wanted to touch on public health initiatives and take like a sneak peek, look forward. But how are these discussions impacting public health initiatives in the U.S. right now? And kind of what work do you think is needed to get all the stakeholders on page, like whether it's providers, lawmakers, manufacturers, researchers, or patients themselves? Like what do you think really needs to happen going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, the discussions are already impacting public health, and really they're doing it by introducing uncertainty into vaccine confidence, including among healthcare professionals. So really what alignment looks like, it requires a government to adhere to principles that pharmacists depend on. For example, transparent, evidence-based thresholds for policy changes, not just somebody's opinion. Independent scientific review, which is insulated from political influence. And really clear differentiation between known rare risks and uncertainty. That's a big difference there. And then stable, clear guidance so pharmacists can reliably vaccinate patients. You know, pharmacists, as you mentioned, are uniquely positioned to translate evidence into patient decisions. But that role only is effective when policy signals are consistent, when they're evidence-based, and when they are clearly communicated.
Perfectly said. I really appreciate you joining me today. Like, again, this is very, very straightforward and kind of it's a known thing in pharmacy, but with everything that's going on for pharmacists, like in the PBM space and elsewhere, it might be hard to kind of keep track of these developments. So I really appreciate you kind of adding your insights to what's going on right now.
Absolutely happy to.
Thanks so much, Jeff.